competition that I was to affirm the first United Sisters Scripture teaches that the Holy Spirit dwells personally in faithful Christians and not just only through the Word. In a case of competition, I would make it clear I believe that the Holy Spirit dwells in us representatively through the Word. And to the extent that we purposefully obey His teaching during the Word, I believe Ephesians 5:18 teaches the representative dwelling through the Word. Because it's in command form, be ye filled with the Spirit. But I also believe, and this is the first time that I disagree on the subject with it, I also believe that the Holy Spirit dwells in faithful Christians personally. Now, you may not know what I mean by that, but I think I can give you an illustration that will help you understand the difference between tongues. President Bush could go to Iraq and negotiate personally with them, or he could send a representative to negotiate for him. He said if he sent a representative, he would be there representatively to negotiate. But you bring yourself out of me personally, he himself would be there. So he could do it either way, or he could do it both ways. I believe that the Holy Spirit dwells in us representatively through the Word. That's just my definition. My Father dwells in me to the extent that I obey the teaching he gave me when I was growing up. But the Bible teaches something more than that, and that is that you receive something when you're baptized, and that is the Holy Spirit himself. Personally, not just representatively. Mark. But first, I'd like to turn to Acts 2:38. This is a crucial verse, though not the only verse I will use tonight. In Acts 2:38, the verse we're all familiar with, and he shouldn't settle the question. Peter told these people, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, there are two commands to be obeyed. Repent and be baptized. Two blessings will be received if you obey the command. Remission of sins and the gift of the Holy Ghost. Okay? Everybody who repents and is baptized, each and every one of them, if they do that, of course, with the right attitude, after having been a believer, they will receive a remission of sins, and just as surely they'll receive a remission of sins, the verse teaches that they shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's not a baby or anything like that, any more than the remission of sins is a baby. Every one of them. You may not understand yet why this is critical, but you will when Tom gets up here, because Tom is going to contend that this gift of the Holy Spirit is the miraculous endowment or the miraculous gift from the Holy Spirit. And as such, we will agree that the miraculous gift of the Holy Spirit, the power that came from the Holy Ghost to enable people to miracle, was only given to the select few at that time. If I then can prove that this is a universal thing, this gift of the Holy Spirit, then I can prove that it is not the miraculous gift of the Holy Spirit. You see that? That's why we'll be laboring in this space to prove in some of the passages that it's a universal thing. Now, the gift of the Holy Ghost, gift of the Holy Ghost, you know that? It's ambiguous. In English, I think also the correct gift. Maybe it was in this way. If you say gift of the Holy Ghost, you could be talking about a gift that the Holy Spirit gives. That's the way Tom will understand it. Or you could be talking about the Holy Ghost is the gift that is given. For example, Ephesians 2, verse 8. The Bible talks about salvation being a gift of God. Okay? That means that God gives a gift, not that God gives a gift. But here are some examples where we say gift or something, and then we name the gift that is given, not the source of the gift. Or an everyday illustration of the gift of money. Money is the gift, not the giver. Or in Ezekiel 46:17, it talks about a man who gave a gift to his inheritance. The inheritance is not the giver, the source of the gift is the gift itself. Romans 5:17, the gift of righteousness. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 2, the gift of prophecy. Gift that I'm named the gift. If you go either way in the Greek and the English, I think Tom will agree with that. Here's a little sort of humorous example. When I got married about 13 years ago, I received the gift of Carol. You know, I received it both ways. Her father gave her away, so she was a gift to me. But also, she gave me a gift, a ring. Okay, so I received the gift of Carol in both ways on my wedding day. Now, I'm going to show by other passages tonight in this presentation by Israel that the gift of the Holy Ghost, though it's ambiguous here, we're going to prove that the Holy Ghost is the gift itself. We're going to prove that by going to these passages by Mark. First, let's go to Acts 5:32. everybody's going to act contrary to each other. Now, this is the sign that we're going to receive a gift from the Holy Ghost. It says that we'll receive the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the gift. Act contrary to each other. We are his witnesses of these things, and so it's also the Holy Ghost who God has given to them that obey him. So it's not talking about something that the Holy Ghost gave. It's saying that God gave the Holy Ghost to them that obey him. This explains Act 5:32. Act 5:32 may not be that ambiguous, but this explains for sure what it's talking about. The Holy Ghost is the gift of Act 3:32. Act 2:38, I'm sorry. The Holy Ghost is the gift itself. That's clear from Act 5:32. It says, the Holy Ghost whom God has given, he is the gift. Now, who gives the Holy Ghost according to Act 5:32? Those that obey him. That's similar to Hebrews 5:10. The Bible says Jesus is the author of eternal salvation to all of them that obey him. Who does that talk about? That's all the Christians. Every single person who obeys Christ, in the way that Christ is specified, will receive salvation from the Lord. And so it's the same way here. Every person that obeys him, Acts 5:22, will receive this gift, that is the Holy Ghost. Mark. Next, turn to Luke chapter 11, verse 13. Now, all these passages prove our proposition. It would only take one of them to prove this. Because all of them teach that the Holy Ghost is the thing that is given. Okay? And that we all, Christians, then and today, receive that gift of the Holy Ghost. And that contradicts what Tom Bright will teach in this discussion. In Luke 11, 13, the Bible says, Jesus said, even if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Now, the Holy Spirit is something that God will give to those that ask him. Now, I don't necessarily have time to do all this in this speech, but you compare this passage, that is Luke 11, 9, 13, with Matthew 7, 7 through 11, you'll see that they're almost exactly the same word for word. And they both start with asking to be given you seek ye shall find and so forth. We all understand that this applies to everybody, not just to the apostles or a select few that receive the miraculous ministry of the Holy Spirit. It applies to everybody. When we talk about somebody in China who's not heard the gospel and worried about him being saved, and we say that's somebody, that's not fair. But we say no, we say seek, that will find. God will send somebody. We know that this passage applies to all. Matthew 7. In Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11, in Luke 11, verses 9 through 13, it's just a continuation or elaboration of that. And you will see, speak and you will find. That's all it is. What I'm doing is I'm showing the universality of Luke 11, 13, where it says God will give the Holy Spirit to those that ask him. That's everybody, not just the select few, not just a few Christians who receive the blessing. This is everybody. Okay? Then you ask, well, how do they ask? Well, it's not through prayer necessarily, because this is something that is given to somebody when they become a Christian. How is that? Well, it's just like we talk about with the Baptists. You know, the faith of the Baptists, they pray, how can you call upon the name of the Lord? You have to pray. No, Acts 22:16, Ananias told Paul to rise and be baptized. Watch what that is calling on the name of the Lord. Well, how do you ask for remission of sin? How do you ask God to wash away your sin? You do that by calling upon God to wash away your sins by being baptized. How do you call upon God or ask God to give you remission of sins if you're a non-Christian? You don't do it through prayer. He's already told you what to do. He says, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. So if you want to ask God for remission of sins, you don't do it through prayer. You do it by doing what he has told you to do. And the same thing in Acts 3:38, how do you ask God for the Holy Ghost? Luke 11, 13, you do it by repenting and being baptized because he's already told you. If you'll do that, you'll receive a gift of the Holy Ghost. Acts 3:38. So that's how you ask to give the Holy Spirit, according to Luke 11, 13. Mark. And then in John 7, 38, 39. Now, before the Lord, remember Luke 11, 13 named the Holy Ghost as the gift. Not a gift from the Holy Ghost, but the Holy Spirit is the thing that is given when you ask. In John 7, 38, 39, the Bible says, he that believes on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Now, this talk is really two questions about people believing in Christ. But the believers in Christ, that's just not some people, that's not you, that's anybody who believes. Now, what will they receive if they believe? They'll receive the Holy Spirit, is what he said. This faith in the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive.
know, the God brings his faith to those that believe and receive everlasting life. They would not perish. Is that everybody or just the last few? It's pretty much the same way. It's that they will receive the Spirit. I believe it. They receive the Spirit itself. Every single one of them that believes. Of course, we're talking about complete obedience, not becoming an eternal world that we're going to pass. And so, from the three passages we've been through, the first way of knowing the Holy Ghost is a conditional gift. If you believe, you get the Holy Ghost according to that. So, Acts 3:38, if you repent, you're ready to be baptized, you get the Holy Ghost. Acts 5:32, if you obey, you get the Holy Ghost. And again, notice in John 7 that the Holy Spirit is the thing that is given. It is not a gift from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the thing that is given. That helps us with Acts 3:38. And again, the Holy Ghost, according to John 7:39, it's twice as said that those that believe in him, that is all Christians. It is not just like me. And in Romans 5, verse 5, look at that in your Bible. It says that all faith is not ashamed because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Again, notice that the Holy Ghost is given. Not the power from the Holy Ghost. Again, it helps explain Acts 2, verse 38. Romans 5, 5 shows that all Christians, now that's another consideration, Romans 5, 5, we'll prove that by the context of the issue. All Christians are given the Holy Ghost. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 8. He therefore that despises the sign of not man, but God, who has also given unto us his Holy Spirit. Now, is the gift from the Holy Spirit? Is he the giver? No. He is the gift. Again, it helps explain Acts 2:38. Who has promised the Holy Spirit? By 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 8. Those from us, ever since he gave us the Holy Spirit. Well, look at the context. Those who are not to despise man in verse 8 by destroying our brother in any matter, but is better to show brotherly love. Verse 9. For God has not called us unto uncleanness, but in holiness. Verse 9. Not all Christians are just to reflect you, maybe just the apostles. That's all the Christians. That's the context of 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 8. That's who will receive the Holy Spirit. Titus 3:5-6. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. That's not what they're talking about. Just the apostles and the flesh. You heard that, everybody. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration. That's every Christian. That's not everybody that becomes a Christian. And renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ. You see that he says, the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which, on that Holy Ghost, he, I think that's the God the Father, shed on us, or it's the first of it, poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ. The Holy Ghost is what is poured out from God. The Holy Ghost is the element of the point, not the one doing the point. The American Standard Version, renewing by the Holy Ghost to be poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ. NIV, renewal by the Holy Spirit to be poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ. New King James Version, renewing of the Holy Spirit to be poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ. And by the way, Bible Standard Version will be the Old King James Version. So who has promised the Holy Spirit according to Titus 3 verse 6? Those who are saved according to his mercy. In fact, just the select few Christians are that all of them. Just by that grace, verse 7, that every Christian or just the select few who receive the miraculous stuff. Made heirs of eternal life. I think it is very clear that that's every Christian, and it says they will receive the Holy Spirit. That's what I'm talking about. This is not referring to the miraculous, but the Holy Ghost will let any Christian receive the miraculous. 1 John chapter 3, verse 24. And he that keepeth his commandments dwells in him, and he in him. Hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit, which he hath given us. Again, it's not a gift from the Spirit. The Spirit is the thing that is given. That helps us again to explain Acts 2, verse 8. Who has promised the Holy Ghost according to 1 John 3, 24? Well, it's those who keep his commandments. Those who spread the answer, verse 22. Those who dwell in God and he in them. That's all Christians, not just the select few, not just the apostles and a few others. This passage teaches that all Christians are given the Holy Ghost, not just the select few. 1 John 4, 13, very similar. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. Again, the Holy Spirit is the thing that is given. It is not the source of the gift. God is the source, God the Father. So we promise the Holy Spirit according to the Spirit, 1 John 4, 13. Those who dwell in God and he in them. That's all Christians, isn't it? Those who command boldness in the day of judgment. I hope that's all Christians and not just the apostles. So the Holy Spirit is promised to all Christians here, not just the select few. This is not talking about the miraculous. Now, back to Acts 3:38. We go through the great different fruit texts, and we go through them just about the same thing. And they all show that we actively and continuously get from the Holy Ghost with the Holy Ghost against himself. It is the Holy Ghost himself. Mark right now. The following verses prove that the gift of the Holy Ghost refers to the Holy Ghost himself as a gift. We've gone just a summary of what we know. He is the Holy Spirit in that attitude, the Spirit which makes a believer him to receive the Holy Ghost whom God has given them in our radius. The Holy Ghost, which is given to us, has also given unto us his Holy Spirit, Spirit for him, his Spirit, which he has given us. All of them say that the Holy Spirit is the thing that is given. Now, some believe that it's holy, but practically all of them, and it refers to miraculous measure. And I've tried to show all the way through that it is not the miraculous measure. Look at this. gospel there in him also. You trust that, that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation in him also. After that, you believe you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. This personal indwelling of the Holy Spirit serves as an earnest for the Christians. The passage says we are sealed with the Holy Spirit, said Holy Spirit being the earnest. For a person's soul is deposited in a payment place for involvement towards in heaven. Now, 2 Corinthians 1:22, the New King James Version, we talk about the same idea, that who also has sealed us and given us the Holy Spirit in our heart as an apostle. 2 Corinthians 5:5, who also has given us the Spirit of the guarantee. So this earnest is the Holy Spirit being given to us, what we've been talking about for the last 20 minutes. It serves as an earnest or a guarantee that it's the Holy Spirit being given to us. These two verses make that clear. Thank you very much for your time.
Yeah,